From where Anya crouched behind a big rock at the entrance to the massive cavern, she could see the ropes holding Vic and the others twisting under the weight. She followed the rope up into the rocky ceiling, and then to where they reemerged and fed down to three warriors holding the ropes. Anya chewed her lip and thought. If she attacked, the warriors would just let the ropes go, and all three captives would fall into God only knew what. She had to somehow get over to the ledge and take control of the ropes herself. Or at least Vic's rope. She had to be honest, admitting to herself that she didn't much care if Eduardo and Agamemnon lived or died. But a part of her still wanted to remain faithful to the pact she'd made with Eduardo.
What's in the pit, though?
And what was this tribe, anyway? The longer she had contact with them, the more she doubted they were related to the famous Moros at all. Even though the warriors she'd killed earlier had been armed with the deadly Chris knives, that didn't necessarily make them Moros. Anya looked at the elaborate painting on the wall across the cavern. She hoped that the monster wasn't drawn to scale, because it looked as if it must have been over 20 feet in length. It reminded her of a dinosaur with rows of serrated teeth that it used to disembowel its victims. Was it waiting for Vic and the others in the pit?
Get a grip. There's no such thing as monsters.
Anya didn't think she'd necessarily have to fight the entire crowd of people, and she certainly didn't want to fight any children, but the men holding the ropes on the ledge and the head priest Hector, if that's what he was, they would be trouble. Anya crept farther into the cavern, trying her best to keep herself low. A winding path led down to the main cavern floor. Anya avoided it and concentrated on working her way around the periphery of the cavern, using a lip in the rock that was partially obscured from view by stalactites. As she worked her way around closer to the ledge, she tried to figure out a plan, but her options were sorely limited. If she risked a head-on assault, they could drop the ropes. And even if she grabbed one of them in time, she wouldn't know whose rope it was. She might end up saving Eduardo, or worse, Agamemnon, while Vic plunged to his death. Anya reached the end of the lip and found herself still 50 yards from the ledge where the rope holders stood. And now Vic and the others hovered just 20 feet from the open pit. Flames shot up into the sky as the fire ate into fresh boughs of wood that popped and sent sparks into the air. The smoke was thick near the ledge as well. Anya could taste the fumes from the plants and tried not to gag. She closed her eyes and reached for the sword. Anya opened her eyes just as a breeze blew through the cavern, causing smoke to swirl. It enveloped her instantly. Anya used the diversion to make her move. She jumped as far as she could. And then she was out of the smoke on the ledge. She was behind the men holding the rope. Already, people closest to the ledge could see the sword.
Did not kneel!
So much for surprise.
She cracked the first rope holder on the back of his head with the pommel of her sword, and he dropped while Anya clutched at his rope. The sudden amount of weight she took on jarred her, and she had to drop to her knees to keep from being pulled off her feet. Anya struggled to her feet and wrapped the rope around the closest outcropping of rock. The two other rope holders turned and faced her, still clutching their ropes, while Hector waved frantically toward her.
Stop the woman! Stop her!
Anya!
Hey, Vic!
A painted warrior leaped onto the ledge and raised a long knife. Anya cut his legs out from under him. He fell off the ledge. Anya stepped closer to the next rope holder. His eyes were wide and terrified. She feinted a stab in his direction. He let go of the rope and jumped off the ledge into the seething crowd. Anya threw herself forward and grabbed for the rope, but she was too late. She saw Eduardo's body plunge through the air and into the pit. The third rope holder tied his rope to a rocky outcropping and then grabbed a wooden club. He swung it overhead and charged at Anya. Anya stepped to the side and stuck out her foot. He went over the ledge as well. Anya grabbed the rope and released it. As Vint got within range, Anya grabbed him and swung him over to the side, cutting his bonds as she did so.
Thanks.
Anytime.
Agamemnon still twisted from his rope.
Get me down!
Anya glanced at Vic, who just shrugged.
What the hell?
Anya grabbed his rope and lowered him, till Vic could grab his hands and drag him onto the ledge. Another warrior tried to rush Anya. She speared him through the chest. Agamemnon knelt by the pit and fished his hands around. Anya looked and saw that he'd managed to haul up Eduardo.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Vic helped him pull Eduardo out of the water. He looked lifeless, but But Agamemnon started rescue breathing, and soon enough, Eduardo's eyes opened. Anya watched the front of the ledge. A very determined woman jumped onto the ledge with a 4-foot staff in her hands. Anya smacked the flat of her blade against the woman's head. She fell off the ledge. No more warriors jumped onto the ledge. Anya stood with her sword poised to attack anyone who did. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the high priest regarding her.
You are very skilled.
Who are you?
I told you my name is Hector.
And you're the high priest here?
We prefer to think of ourselves as caretakers.
Caretakers of who?
You mean of what?
You're not going to kill us. I won't allow it.
I can see that you won't be an easy person to kill, but we've had others here we thought were troublesome at first. Soon enough, they all died.
Well, things are different this time.
Are they? And where will you go? There's no escape for you. I have many followers, as you can see. And while you've killed some of them, I have no doubt that we can eventually overpower you.
You'll lose many in the process.
Perhaps. But they are committed to the ideals we worship. Dying would be a reward of sorts.
Sounds like a friend of yours, Agamemnon.
Not now, Vic. Hector, are you willing to sacrifice them?
Of course, but I don't think that will even be necessary.
Why not?
Anya glanced around the cavern. From the back, she could see a ripple as people moved out of the way. She could see a group of warriors heading toward the ledge. Hector smiled and pointed at the group. Agamemnon frowned in dismay.
What is it?
Those are my men they're herding in here. Joey and Michael, my trackers.
Anya watched as Hector's men herded Joey and Michael through the crowds. As they moved closer to the ledge, the people started to dance in place again. Anya frowned. These people wanted blood, and Hector was poised to give it to them. She glanced at Agamemnon, who seemed almost genuine in his concern for the safety of his men. Joey and Michael were herded onto the ledge. Joey looked at Agamemnon.
Sorry, sir.
Enough!
Hector spread his arms, and the entire tribe stopped moving and stared at him raptly. Smiling, he looked at Anya.
Now, you see what it is that I hold in my possession. Your choices are simple. Surrender or die.
If we surrender, we will die.
The will of our God cannot be denied. He demands sacrifice.
Who is your God? I don't recall hearing of any tribes in these jungles that still worshipped a pagan deity.
Jajuba is timeless and beyond such petty distinction.
Jajuba?
Yes. He is as old as the earth itself, born out of the fires of her belly into the waters of her world. He is the giver of life and the taker of souls. Without his protection, we would perish.
How so?
Jajuba would descend upon us and destroy us all.
Anya frowned and glanced at Vic, who got to his feet next to her.
You believe this?
I was suspended over the pit, but I didn't see anything.
Anya frowned. Running into a monster in this place wasn't exactly what she'd been hoping for. But then again, facing down 100 crazed zealots didn't exactly make her day either.
Fine. I'll play along. Does Jujuba live here?
In the pit behind you.
Anya stared into the inky black depths. Did something just move? She couldn't tell for sure. She looked back at Hector.
I don't believe you.
Very well.
Hector turned and gestured imperiously at his followers, and a young woman decorated in elaborate braids and streaks of paint up and down her body pushed through the crowd. Hector looked at Anya.
Now you will see.
The woman jumped onto the ledge and bowed once to Hector. Then she faced the edge of the pit, closed her eyes, and stepped right off the lip, vanishing almost instantly from sight. Anya and Vic rushed to the side and looked over. Anya kept watching and saw a row of gleaming white teeth flash in the darkness before chomping down on the woman, splashing bright red blood over the surface of the water. In another second, the carnage was over. The woman was gone. In the cavern, Hector's followers all had wide smiles on their faces. They were happy. Anya shook her head. What sort of cult had she wandered into here? This was unlike anything she'd ever heard of. Hector spread his arms again and grinned at Anya.
Enough. You believe now, don't you?
You've got something down there, sure, I saw it.
You saw Jajuba!
Okay.
So, will you surrender?
No.
You are willing to see your men killed?
They're not my men. In fact, they were sent to track me down and kill me. If you want to throw them into the pit, be my guest. You'll actually be doing me a favor.
You are a strange woman. If these are not your men, then whose are they?
Mine.
Who are you?
I am Agamemnon. And in my world, I am much the same as you are here, a great leader. I am well aware of the role you played in my other camp, and I admire your ability to blend in with us for so long and to remain undetected.
So, at last we meet.
Indeed.
And you came here how?
By the entrance to this amazing place through the trees. I found the entrance and followed the tunnels down here.
I am impressed. You have shown ability I did not expect to see from any of these people.
I'm humbled by your flattery, but in awe of your world here.
You are with this woman?
No.
Really?
I was hunting her down to kill her. She escaped from my camp and has caused death and destruction wherever she goes. It was my hope that she'd be dead by now. It was a task I had entrusted to men I thought capable, but who only succeeded in failing me.
Perhaps your quarry is smarter than you first believed.
I have no doubt of that. However, my goal remains the same. To see her die.
Hector appeared to be thinking something over. After a moment of introspection, he looked Agamemnon in the eye.
One called Agamemnon, you have greatly impressed me, and I have heard much about your work and your vision. It is something I feel could be beneficial to us all.
Oh, great.
Would you betray your knowledge of this place to anyone, should they ask you?
Never.
Then you are free to go.
You are most generous, mighty one. Please accept these people as my own sacrifice for the mighty and all-powerful Jajuba. I am sure he will find them most delicious.
Eduardo's eyes widened in total disbelief.
Sir?
You have failed me for the last time, Eduardo. I warned you what would happen if you did not succeed.
But it was not my fault. They caught us. They took us by surprise. There was nothing I could do. Hector betrayed us.
Failures cannot simply be explained away. Neither can they be forgiven.
Two warriors stepped forward, one on either side of Eduardo.
No!
Anya stepped forward, but a number of warriors jumped onto the ledge. There were too many to reach Eduardo, and she and Vic could only watch as the warriors dragged him to the edge overlooking the black pit.
No! No!
The warriors looked at Hector, who spread his hands, and the people threw their hands into the air. Anya had to keep her eyes open or risk the warriors in front of her taking advantage of her state to disarm her. Eduardo still tried to free himself.
I beg you not to do this! Please!
Anya could see water splashing out of the pit. The chanting must have called the monster. Underneath this network of caves and tunnels, there had to be a reservoir or other type of giant watery realm where the monster could live.
Agamemnon, please!
But Agamemnon's eyes were like stone. A flicker of a grin spread across his face, and Anya realized he was actually enjoying himself. Hector dropped his hands. The warriors pushed Eduardo into the pit. Anya could only watch as the water churned, the froth red with blood, and Eduardo disappeared into the snapping jaws of whatever nightmare lurked in the depths. It was horrible. In another moment, the churning waters stilled. Hector smiled, and the tribe's people swayed gently together. Hector looked at Agamemnon.
You are free to go. I will send a guide to show you the way back to the surface.
Thank you.
Agamemnon.
Yes, mighty one.
Do not forget the mercy I have shown you here today.
I will not.
And do not ever reveal this place to anyone. Otherwise, we will come for you. We will drag you back here for a fate worse than the mighty Jajuba would inflict.
Agamemnon seemed about to say something, but thought better of it. He bowed and then turned to leave.
Agamemnon!
Yes, Miss Creed.
We're not done, you and me.
It looks to me like we are.
Not by a long shot.
We shall see. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have certain other things to attend to.
You mean that thing in Makati?
Agamemnon frowned at the American sniper.
Yeah, I heard you talking. You should never assume just because a guy's eyes are closed that he's asleep.
It's a moot point. You will die here soon enough, and you are much too far away to do anything to stop the inevitable.
He turned and left the cavern. Vic turned back to Anya.
He's right.
Maybe.
Hector swept Anya with his gaze, a funny little smile on his desiccated lips.
Your last chance for survival is now gone. He might have spared you. He did not.
I'm not surprised.
And now you will all die.
Let me tell you something.
What?
We might all die, but we're going to take an awful lot of your people with us.
Hyah! Anya's first strike cut a warrior almost in half. Before any of the others could react, Anya pivoted and stabbed the guards holding Joey and Michael hostage. As the warriors fell, Joey and Michael armed themselves with weapons from the dead men. So did Vic. Anya spun and knocked two warriors right into the pit. Anya turned and watched as Vic drove the point of his knife deep into a warrior's throat. Joey and Michael seemed well-versed in knife fighting, easily dispatching two more warriors. But the ledge was getting crowded, and the amount of blood on the ledge was making her concerned. A female warrior jumped in front of Anya and promptly kicked Anya's hands. Anya nearly dropped her sword from the pain. The woman bared her yellow teeth, brandishing her own set of twin crisp blades. Anya caught a whiff of her breath and blanched. It smelled as if she had been eating raw flesh.
I hope you haven't been eating Jujuba's leftovers.
The woman whirled her blades and stabbed at Anya's heart. Anya jumped out of the way, narrowly missing bumping into Joey, who had just dodged his own attack from the side. He grinned at Anya.
Sorry.
No sweat.
Anya dodged to avoid the woman's second strike. She pivoted and sliced down at her attacker. She caught the woman's collarbone, and the blade hit bone. Anya yanked the blade free and stabbed her through the heart. Anya kicked her body over the side into the bloody water, careful to avoid the now dying flames of the bonfires that had ringed it earlier. She turned to see Vic yanking a knife free of another warrior. The man dropped, already dead. Blood spattered Vic's face, mixing with the camouflage paint he already wore. He grinned at Anya.
I really need a shower.
Me too.
Cool. It's a date then.
Anya started to say something, but at that moment her instincts took over, and she sidestepped, just missing being run through from behind by another spear-wielding warrior. She backhanded him and then drove her sword into his gut. More blood splashed on the ledge, and he dropped down as well.
We're running out of room here.
Michael wiped blood and sweat from his face and looked at her.
We can't go down there, though. Too many people to worry about.
Anya surveyed the scene. The children and many of the women seemed to have fled, but the main cavern was still filled with Hector's followers, mostly warriors. But Hector's position... Anya glanced over at him. He seemed to be enjoying the fights happening in front of him. He held his hands clasped as if he was deep in thought. Anya frowned.
What's he up to?
Anya!
Anya ducked as the leaping body of a warrior went flying overhead. The warrior tumbled, tried to stand, and then slipped back into the pit.
We can't stay here!
Vic dispatched another warrior and moved alongside Anya.
We have to get to a better position. They'll keep coming at us until we either die or surrender.
Dead either way.
Right. How did you come in here?
Anya pointed up at the lip that ran around close to the ledge.
I snaked my way down here following that.
There's no way we can use that. They'll cut our feet out from under us. We need something better.
What about up there where Hector is?
If we grab Hector, it just might take the fight out of his people.
Agreed.
Anya turned to Joey and Michael, who had just double-teamed another warrior.
We're moving!
Vic led the way across the ledge toward Hector, who seemed completely unfazed by the movement and continued to hold his ground with a curious expression on his face. Anya felt a twinge in her stomach. Something wasn't right.
Vic.
What?
Is he suckering us in?
We can't go back. Joey and Michael are fighting with their backs to us as it is.
Anya turned as Joey stabbed another warrior.
You guys okay?
Keep moving. We can't stop here.
Anya turned back.
What?
A warrior jumped up to her left and tried to swing a club at her head. Anya parried the blow and struck down, slashing off his hands. He fell off the ledge with blood spraying from his wrists. Vic closed in on Hector. Hector still had not moved. Anya turned. Michael had taken a cut across his arm. She stepped in and drove the warrior back, cutting and slashing until he missed deflecting one of her moves and she gutted him.
Thanks.
Don't mention it. You okay?
Yeah. They seem to be slowing down.
Anya watched as the warriors who had just jumped onto the ledge were now starting to back away.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Anya turned. Vic had reached Hector and stood facing him with a smile on his face. Hector was also smiling.
Vic, you okay?
No problems.
You've killed a great many of my warriors, Miss Creed.
They shouldn't have tried to kill us. Self-defense, you know?
They were doing what they were trained to do. It is their life mission to appease their god, Jujuba. Just as it is my mission to ensure his continued survival.
By sacrificing people to him?
Yes.
I'm sure he's feeling pretty full right now. He won't be able to eat for weeks.
No. All you did was stoke his bloodlust. He will crave more now that he has been overfed. You know nothing about what it is that you face.
Well, I know you're in a really bad position at the moment. Tell your warriors to give us passage out of here. What you do here is of no concern to us. We just want to get home.
I'm afraid I cannot do that. Jujuba has already told me that you must all die.
We could kill you, of course.
That would not matter one bit. Jujuba would still demand his sacrifice. You would still die.
But your people would let us go if you were dead.
This has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with tradition and the needs of Jujuba. Nothing more. Our destiny as a people is tied to his survival. If he lives, so do we.
And if he dies?
He will never die. He is immortal.
Vic looked at Anya.
So, what now?
We might as well kill him. If it doesn't matter anyway, there's no sense keeping him around.
You are about to see what it is that you are up against.
Hector raised his hands high over his head and let his head fall back.
Jujuba! Jujuba! Jujuba!
Anya?
What?
Look.
The area around the pit had changed. Something kicked up the water so hard it splashed out of the pit. And then, as she watched, Anya saw something emerge from the pit. Jujuba wasn't quite the monster Anya had imagined, but it was still a huge beast. As it squatted on the ledge eyeing them, water dribbled off its leathery reptilian skin. It used its long, sharp snout to nose the air as if sniffing for its next meal, and the rows of sharp teeth were coated with blood and gristle from its most recent feedings.
That's no monster. It's a saltwater crocodile.
It's huge, though. It's got to be 20 feet long, at least.
Anya regarded the crocodile. She didn't even know they lived in the Philippines. But here it was, staring balefully at the five of them on the ledge. Anya glanced over at Hector. His joy was clearly evident. He lowered his hands and smiled happily at her.
I told you.
I hate to tell you this, Hector, but you're here with us. I don't think that bodes very well for you.
I can leave any time I want to, as can my followers. Jujuba knows who we are, and he knows that we protect him. He won't harm any of us unless we fall into the pit.
Vic stepped closer to Anya, his eyes locked on the beast.
You have a plan?
I'm thinking.
Better think fast. Once Jujuba rises from the pit, he usually only takes a moment to decide who he's going to eat first.
Joey glanced at the knife in his hands and then at his brother.
Somehow, I think I'm out Gandhia.
If we fight together, we might have a chance against it.
Jujuba will devour you all. Your tactics are worthless against his might. He is faster than any of you, and he is very strong indeed.
You know, I'm getting tired of listening to you, old man.
You should have listened to me before and given yourselves up. Jujuba can be merciful as well. Jujuba will end your life quickly.
I never pictured myself dying by ingestion, so if it's all the same to you, I think I'll pass.
The crocodile's mouth gaped. Anya could see the ball eyes rolling around, eyeing everything nearby. The beast seemed to be sizing them all up. As soon as the crocodile decided on how dangerous it was or wasn't to attack, it would make its move. And it might be too late then. The best thing to do would be to get on its back and cut into its head. If she could pierce the brain with her sword, she could kill it. Getting there would be a problem, though. Hector raised his hands again.
Jujuba! Jujuba! Jujuba!
It seemed to have an almost lulling effect on the crocodile. As Hector repeated the chant, the crocodile's head seemed to move back and forth in time to it.
I can't take this anymore.
Vic clocked Hector in the head with the hilt of his borrowed knife. Hector slid to the floor unconscious. Vic looked back at Anya.
Sorry.
The crocodile ignored the tribespeople and stamped around the edge of the pit, regarding it. And for a moment, Anya found herself wondering if the beast might actually go back into the water. But then the crocodile turned itself around again and took two steps toward the group of them. Vic stepped closer to her.
Anya, now might be a good time to let us in on your plan.
I'm thinking.
Think quicker, please.
I need to get up on its head in order to kill it. If I can stab down into its skull, I think I can end this.
Great. So how do we do that?
I don't know.
Joey and Michael looked at each other. Then Joey looked at her.
What about the distraction?
It's an awfully big gamble you're talking about. If you mess up before I can kill it, it will eat you up.
We don't have a choice, do we?
I'll help too. Not much I can do to help Anya get on its head. Besides, if it's confronting three of us, it will see us as more of a threat than just two. And that might buy Anya the time and positioning she needs.
Vic, you better be careful.
And miss our date if I'm not? Not bloody likely.
All right. How do you guys want to do this?
The crocodile took another step toward them. Anya held her sword out in front, aiming it directly at the beast's eyes. That seemed to stop it momentarily. Michael pointed over to the lip of the ledge.
We can start making our way over there. If it gets too close, we can jump down into the main cavern.
And it might jump down on top of you. What else do you have?
Nothing! We aren't exactly sitting on a big hunk of real estate here.
They're right. It's the best shot we have.
All right. Vic, what do you want to do?
Give us 10 seconds to get a reaction. If he follows us, then you should be able to get yourself onto his back. Just watch out for that tail. I think those things can kill just by swinging it around.
Great.
Vic turned and got closer to Joey and Michael. The brothers nodded. Together, the three of them brandished their knives.
Over here! Hey, over here! Over here! Come get me! Hey!
Vic,
hey,
Joey, and Michael flailed their arms while Anya sidled very slowly around to her left. The crocodile made a sudden lunge forward and snapped its jaws at Joey's head. Joey ducked and managed to get himself out of the way. The crocodile recoiled and considered its next action. But Joey was now separated from Michael and Vic. Anya worked her way around to the side some more and then looked at the crocodile's right flank. The crocodile seemed satisfied that it had managed to separate Joey from Michael and Vic. Instead of concentrating on the party of two, it settled on Joey. Joey backed up, closer to the lip of the ledge. The crocodile stalked him now, moving forward slowly. Anya waited a second more. The crocodile snapped its jaws. And this time, Joey had to jump back. He lost his footing and fell off the ledge to the ground below. The crocodile rushed forward immediately, snapping its jaws again. But as it did so, Michael and Vic rushed in and stabbed at its unprotected lower left flank. The crocodile recoiled as their blades punctured its skin. But the crocodile was enraged now. It twisted this way and that, trying to get at Vic and Michael. They kept themselves between the crocodile's front and rear legs, but it was far too dangerous. Anya jumped. As she landed, Anya stabbed down into the beast's back, trying to give the creature a wound to worry about as she moved forward. But the crocodile started bucking like a bronco, and Anya had to clutch onto its hard skin just to keep from being bumped off. She grasped her sword with the other hand, wondering how long she could last. Michael attacked the crocodile's flank again, but this time, as he stabbed the side, the crocodile reared up and its claw came down. The crocodile's claws had torn open his arm and right side. Vic danced back and forth in front of the beast, distracting it, and Anya had a moment to work her way forward. She crawled along the back of the beast up toward the head and could see the snout waving back and forth in the air. She reached the neck, just a bit farther. She glanced back to see the high priest back on his feet.
Not now!
Anya concentrated on climbing onto the crocodile's giant head. Hector's followers all got on their knees, their hands thrust forward at him. Worse, the crocodile seemed to feed from Hector's energy. It writhed so violently, Anya almost flew from its back.
Vic!
What?
Stop Hector!
She could see the desperation in Vic's face. Anya couldn't set herself right for a stab to the beast's head. It was moving too much, and she would need a moment, just a split second, to deliver the killing thrust. Anya slipped back onto the crocodile's neck.
Vic!
I can't get to him!
Anya wriggled back onto the crocodile's head. She had the sword in one hand and leathery skin in the other. She was almost ready. Anya struggled to look. A kris knife jutted from Hector's throat. He slumped over. Every head of the tribe's people flew up, their eyes open in shock. For a brief moment, the crocodile froze. Anya leapt to her feet. She turned the sword point down and drove it home. She felt the bony skull crack and give way as her blade slid into the brain cavity. She pushed until she could go no farther. With a final shudder, the crocodile slumped to one side, dead. The tribespeople stood frozen for a long moment. Anya wondered briefly if she had enough strength left for another fight. Then, beginning at the back of the crowd, they started disappearing into the darkness of the far reaches of the cave. Anya ran to Michael, who had rolled onto a safer part of the ledge and was wrapping himself up with torn bits of his clothing. He looked up as she and Vic approached. Vic knelt down and checked Michael over.
He got you pretty good. But it doesn't look like there's anything worse than long cuts. There's no real tissue damage, and some stitches should keep you intact. The key is to get it cleaned out. No telling what sort of crap that croc has under its claws.
That was some shot, Michael.
What shot?
With the knife into Hector's throat. That was what enabled me to get the killing strike in.
That wasn't me.
Anya looked at Vic, who shrugged.
Don't look at me.
A little help, please.
Anya turned to see Joey clambering up onto the ledge. He was nursing one of his arms. Anya helped him up.
What happened?
After nearly getting chopped in half, I fell off and banged up my arm. I stayed low until I heard you calling for someone to shut Hector up. I still had my knife, so...
Some throw.
It's my bad arm, too.
Joey grinned weakly, then winced as Anya examined his wounded arm.
Doesn't seem like anything's broken. I'd say all in all, we were pretty lucky.
Michael stood up, but Vic held on to him.
Not so fast, Michael. You've lost a lot of blood.
We have to get out of here. Agamemnon has to be stopped.
Oh, damn, I'd almost forgotten about that.
Forgotten about what?
The thing in Makati. Joey, you guys know anything more about it?
It's nuclear. And small. It's being carried up to Makati somehow, but I don't know how it's being handled. Michael, do you?
I think someone in his other camp was taking care of it while Agamemnon used us to hunt you guys down.
We've got to get out of here. And now. Joey, Michael, are you guys well enough to travel?
We'll make do. We'd like to see Agamemnon dead, too.
We should have known he'd sacrifice us. When no one came looking for me when Hector's people grabbed me, I started wondering how bad things were going to get. Might be time to retire.
Let's settle that later. If we get out of here, Michael, can you get us back to Agamemnon's camp?
Sure, but I don't think he knows how to reach the people getting the bomb to Makati.
Why not?
Operational security. Agamemnon gave the order, and all he does now is wait for it to be carried out.
Anya glanced around. About 20 of Hector's followers still loitered in the main cavern. They seemed completely unsure of what to do, just sitting there, staring at their dead priest and their dead god.
Well, regardless, we need to get moving. I don't want these people suddenly deciding to kill us again. Okay, let's go back that way. That's how Agamemnon and his guide left.
Anya and Vic jumped off the ledge. Joey helped his brother. As they headed up the incline, most of Hector's followers simply folded out of their way. Anya still held on to the sword. One of the warriors stood and started to draw his knife, but Anya pointed the bloody sword at him. He folded to his knees, eyes to the floor. Vic leaned closer to her.
You going to tell me exactly what the hell that thing is and how you came by it? It's almost like you pulled that thing right out of thin air.
That's ridiculous. But I'm not going to do a tell-all confessional about it just because you happen to see it.
I wish you would.
You going to tell me about all of your classified missions?
Definitely not.
Well, there you go, then.
They reached the top of the slope, and Anya paused to let Joey and Michael catch up. Michael's bleeding had at least slowed, and despite looking pale, he seemed determined to keep up with the rest of them. Joey's arm had turned bluish from the apparent bruising under the skin. Anya examined it again, and he flinched.
You might have a fracture after all.
I'll be fine. Let's just get going.
Anya stopped and grabbed torches from a bracket on the wall. She handed one to Vic and took the other for herself.
I'll bet we'll make good time now instead of crawling around in the dark.
Anya and the men paused and turned back to see that Hector had risen from the ledge. As she watched, he reached up to his bloody throat and grabbed the knife with both hands. Slowly, he started to slide the blade out.
You've got to be kidding me.
Ugh, harder to kill than a cockroach.
Vic started to head back down the slope, but Anya put a hand on his arm, stopping him.
Wait.
Hector's appearance seemed to have galvanized the remaining worshippers. As he struggled to stand, the crowd got to its feet as well. And then, as Anya watched, the crocodile stirred.
No way! That's impossible!
Joey and Michael moved up behind her. Joey leaned closer.
I don't think we should stay around to see how this ends.
Hector stood before his people, his back to the crocodile, and spread his arms. When he opened his mouth, instead of words coming out, only a great rush of blood spilled forth, but the effect was the same. Instantly, the crowd in the cavern turned and faced Anya and the others.
Oh, crap!
But then, as Hector spread his arms, the crocodile reared up and suddenly grabbed him in its mouth. The mighty jaws bit down, cleaving Hector almost in two. Blood erupted from everywhere at once as the crocodile swallowed huge chunks of Hector's flesh. With a final gulp, Hector disappeared down the crocodile's gullet. Then the crocodile leaped down from the ledge. It landed hard, and Anya could see that it suffered from her wound. But that didn't keep it from attacking the bulk of Hector's followers. Some of them hid behind rocks, but the crocodile nearly swatted its tail, knocking the barriers over. Rocks fell throughout the cavern. The beast's jaws snapped wildly as it devoured people and simply tore others in half.
Oh my God!
Anya, now!
More rocks fell from the ceiling of the cavern and smashed other followers as the crocodile reared up almost on its hind legs and continued its destruction. The roof of the cavern started caving in. Anya watched from the entrance as the crocodile lumbered back up onto the ledge and made its way toward the pit. It cast a final look around, its eyes seeming to settle on Anya's for a split second. Then it slid over the side and back into the murky water of the pit. She felt Vic's hand on hers.
Seen enough?
Yeah!
Joey and Michael have the way out already. Let's go!
Anya turned and raced after Vic out into the tunnel. With the torches, everything seemed much clearer now. Joey and Michael waited up ahead. Joey shot a concerned look up at the ceiling.
We've got to be quick! I think this entire place is about to collapse! This way!
Dust kicked up all around them. Behind, in the main cavern, the rocks continued to fall, and Anya turned back just in time to see the entrance completely covered with debris. The main cavern was gone. The four survivors raced down the stone corridor. Joey and Michael led the way, surprisingly fast despite their injuries. And then Anya saw it, the small ladder leading straight up to freedom. As soon as Anya broke out of the clump of trees, she felt the weight of the tropical heat descend on her.
Yuck.
Joey helped her out of the tree and grinned.
It was nice and cool down there, wasn't it? This is going to take a little time to get used to again.
Michael followed Anya out into the open, followed by Vic, who shot the others a serious look.
Time is something we don't have much of. Not if we want to head Agamemnon off and save Manila from going nuclear.
Any chance you can get in touch with your people?
Not right now. I went dark on this mission, like I said.
No way to call them in, even in an emergency?
I know it doesn't make sense to you, but by going dark, snipers can guarantee they won't be tracked by the enemy. Having a radio means you can be triangulated. It's not like it used to be. We'll just have to hoof it.
Of course we will.
Anya wiped her brow. The sweat was pouring out of her body so fast it almost felt worse now than when she'd first started her journey in this rainforest. Vic stared at the area a moment before turning to Joey.
Which way did you guys come in?
Agamemnon made his camp back there some ways.
Anya looked at the small meadow bordered by more jungle. Michael pointed to the ground.
Agamemnon's tracks.
Only one set?
Yeah.
What about the warrior Hector sent with him?
There.
Anya looked and saw the cloud of flies. Only part of the bloody hand was visible from where she stood. But as she walked over, she could see the multiple stab wounds on the warrior's back.
He stabbed him in the back? There's no low that guy won't stoop to, huh?
Seems not. Now we have a chance to put things right. We follow his tracks, we can get a good jump on him. I doubt very much that he can move as fast as we can.
Anya turned back to rejoin the others. Vic glanced at her.
How are you feeling?
Hot and wet.
Probably not in a romantic way, huh?
Not even close.
Can you move?
I can move. The sooner we get going, the better. Michael, which way do you and Joey recommend?
We can follow Agamemnon, or we can make for the coast.
Which one is closer?
We could probably catch Agamemnon in about 3 hours. Or we could concentrate on getting a warning to Manila. If we go after Agamemnon, there's a chance we won't catch him in time to stop the detonation.
I think that our choice is pretty clear. We have to get to the authorities in Manila.
Agreed. There's no guarantee Agamemnon could even stop the thing from happening anyway.
Anyway, then we make for the coast. Who wants point? Joey?
We can take turns. Heading east is the easiest way to go.
East is how I would go, too.
I take the first shift.
They moved into a ragged line, with Michael about 20 feet ahead of the rest of them. Vic eyed Anya.
Remember to stay close to me. If we get separated, we may not find you again.
The last thing you'll do is lose me. I'm not staying in this jungle any longer than absolutely necessary.
They moved out. Fairly soon, Michael was beyond Anya's sight. Vic was focused on cutting his way through after Michael, and Joey was far behind. With the cover of the plants and vines around her, Anya managed to close her eyes and send the sword away. Michael moved fast, even with his injuries. By the second hour, it felt as if they'd covered at least 4 miles, but Anya knew that gauging distance under the canopy was difficult. It took time, even moving fast, to bypass the small rolling hills and the thick carpet of vegetation that sought to mire them in a morass of vines, weeds, and downed trees. Michael stopped and walked back to the group.
We can rest for a minute. There are tube vines here.
Vic used his knife to cut into a tube vine. He held it up so Anya could drink first, and she greedily lapped up the tepid moisture, feeling it recharge her, but only just a little. Vic, Joey, and Michael took turns taking a quick drink. Anya wiped her mouth on her sleeve.
We have to keep moving.
How you holding up?
I'm holding.
All right.
Michael leaned over and whispered something to Joey, but Anya couldn't hear what it was. She frowned.
You want to share that with me?
No.
Hey, guys, this isn't the time or place to comment on Anya's ability in the jungle. I think she's more than proved herself back there in the caves. She's not used to moving as fast as we are in the bush.
Michael started to say something, but then stopped. Joey patted him on the back, and he moved off. As Vic came forward, he looked at Joey.
What the hell was that about?
I'll tell you later.
Vic shook his head and kept walking, with Anya behind him. Anya glanced back. Joey had drifted back some ways, and she could only just catch flashes of his clothing as he continued to move toward her. She wondered why he had fallen so far back after Vic had mentioned the importance of keeping them in sight. Well, she decided, he could probably follow a trail anywhere. She'd heard about some tracking schools located in the United States. Maybe when she got home, she'd look into getting some training. It seemed to be a valuable skill to have. Anya grinned. Yeah, she'd look into it, right after that drippy, gooey cheesesteak sub and french fries she was going to devour at Bobby Ray's back in Brooklyn. That, a good long soak in the tub, and about a month of sleep. Anya's mouth swam in saliva.
God, I'm hungry.
The thought of getting out of the jungle lifted her spirits. If they could just keep on going, who knew? Maybe by tonight she'd be in a luxurious hotel room in Metro Manila as she waited for her flight home. That would be nice. The thought of her captivity and threatened decapitation sprang into her head again. She frowned. Agamemnon really needed to be put down, and soon. A crazy megalomaniac like that didn't deserve a place on the planet. She felt a presence behind her and looked back. Joey was coming up on her fast. She braced herself. As he moved past her, he darted her a concerned look.
We have to move more quickly, Anya, please.
I'm going as fast as I can.
You need to move faster, trust me.
Vic saw them talking and stopped.
What's going on?
He wants me to go faster.
Why?
At that moment, Michael reappeared. He looked at Joey and nodded.
Agamemnon left a surprise just in case we survived. We've got a kill team on our tail. This way, hurry.
Michael led them farther down the trail until they reached a slight rise in the landscape.
Vic, what about here?
Yeah, I suppose this is as good as any. They won't be able to see us and might get a little jumpy. They should rush over the lip and we'll be waiting for them. Wish I had my rifle with me. I could take them all down before they even got close.
Michael and Joey huddled closer to Anya and Vic. Joey glanced back the way they had come for a moment.
Michael thinks there's 4 of them behind us.
How did you know?
When we started out, I could tell there'd been a lot of activity in the area. Like someone had been all over the place, checking it out.
You think they were watching us when we got out of the tree?
No doubt.
Why not take us then?
They didn't know which way we were going, or if we were armed. They couldn't just sit there and jump us, or they'd risk losing some of us back underground.
So they waited. And when they saw that we were headed east, they took up the pursuit.
Vic cleaned some plant debris from the kris knife he carried and tested the edge with his thumbnail.
This is going to be close quarters type stuff.
I'm getting more and more used to that.
I noticed.
Michael and Joey slid their knives out. Even with their respective injuries, they looked dangerous.
You guys seen combat before?
Let's just say we are both prepared to do whatever we need to do.
Anya, you all set?
Yeah.
What about your, sword?
I'll be ready.
All right. Let's get into position.
He moved them off the trail while Michael cut a few branches farther down to make it look as if they'd continued in that direction so that the men pursuing them would believe that they hadn't stopped. Vic positioned Michael off to the left of the trail and Joey off to the right.
The goal is to do a sort of pincer move on them. As they come abreast, Anya and I will engage from the front. You two will swing in from behind and take them that way.
We hit them in the front.
Well, you got that sword and all. Seems like a good idea to me.
Oh, sure.
Vic and Anya positioned themselves just over the lip.
As they come abreast, we'll cut low. Aim for a killing stab or slash into the upper thighs. If you can get their femoral artery, all the better.
This is so premeditated.
Sure is.
Anya lay flat on her stomach, trying to quell her nerves. Vic lay next to her, his knees up slightly so he could spring up as the men came to them.
How long?
Not much longer now. They'll see the landscape change and hustle. That's what we want.
You think Joey and Michael are okay?
We'll find out.
How do you reconcile it? The premeditated thing.
For some guys, it's about good versus evil. They tell themselves if this guy lives or that guy gets away, he'll kill lots more people.
What about other guys?
It's just a job. You track and stalk and line up the target. You squeeze the trigger and they drop dead. You go on your way.
So you do that?
Me? No. My motivation's a little bit different.
You want to tell me about it?
Now?
Why not?
Because we're about to spring an ambush, that's why.
You'll tell me later then, okay?
Sure. Just as soon as you spill the beans about where the hell you got that sword.
Speaking of which...
She closed her eyes and reached into the tall grass beside her. When she opened them, she pulled her hand back and the sword gleamed in her hands.
You've got the advantage of reach with that.
Meaning what?
You go first.
Me?
I'll be right here.
Anya started to say something but then stopped. With the sword, she'd be able to cut a wide swath and hopefully score some good hits before everyone else engaged. It made sense.
All right.
Vic held a finger to his lips. Vic froze. Anya raised her eyebrows. He nodded. The men who stalked them were close. Anya felt her heart start hammering. Four men came walking slowly through the foliage. Sweat ran down her neck, and she gripped her sword. Vic's eyes had gone to stone. Anya found herself sucking in more oxygen. And then something inside of her set her into motion. Anya came alive. She leapt from her hiding place, swinging the sword for all she was worth. The two men in front started to bring up their weapons. The panicked men behind opened fire, but the rounds went right into the backs of the front two men. Anya saw Vic moving beside her, and in her peripheral vision, she saw Joey and Michael come alive from the edges of the trail, closing their deadly noose on the two rear men. Joey went low, driving his knife deep into the side of the man in front of him. Michael cut down into the neck of his target, slashing and tearing at the exposed muscles. Vic finished off Michael's target with a quick knife thrust through the heart. It was over in seconds. Anya surveyed the damage. Four men dead before they knew what hit them. Vic nodded, satisfied.
Everyone okay?
I am.
Joey and Michael checked each other over. Michael looked as if he might have been bleeding a little from the sudden exertion that tore at his wounds. Joey looked as if his arm was bothering him, but otherwise they were okay. Vic cut a nearby tube vine and helped himself to a long swallow of water. He gestured for Anya to do the same.
Store it up. We don't have any time to hang around.
What about the bodies?
Joey walked over and cut into a vine for himself and his brother.
The jungle will take care of disposing of them. They leave you there. No sense doing any better by them.
Anya drank from the tube vine. It felt weird just leaving the bodies behind. But Vic was right. They didn't have time to waste. She took a final swallow, looked one last time at the bodies of the men who would have killed them all, and then took off down the trail, following Vic. Anya didn't look back. The landscape was changing. As they'd walked, Anya suspected there was a river nearby, and she was right. Although not much larger than a creek at first, it soon gave way to a larger tributary that led them down to a river swollen with water. She felt her energy increase as Joey took over on point. He kept his arm near his side, doing his best not to let it bang into any of the bushes or trees as they skirted the banks of the river. His face was ashen. Anya caught up with Vic, who was walking faster than he had before.
Is Joey going to be okay?
His arm is probably broken. He needs medical attention. Come to think of it, we all need it. But he'll make himself keep going.
He shouldn't be on point.
He and Michael know this jungle better than I do. They won't take a back seat here.
Anya glanced back at Michael. He was even more pale than Joey. But he kept moving forward, his footsteps shuffling through the undergrowth. Once he slipped, and Anya started back to help him. But he quickly recovered, got back to his feet, and kept walking.
This is getting ridiculous. We need to stop and rest.
Put yourself in their position. If someone had a suitcase nuke and was planning on getting into the heart of New York City, wouldn't you practically kill yourself to try to stop it?
Yeah, I would.
This is their country. If we suggest they stop, they might think we don't care.
Anya looked back at Michael again. The bandages on his arm were stained a deep, dark, brownish red from where the blood had dried, and new bleeding had bled through the dressings.
Michael, you okay?
He glanced up, and despite looking terrible, his eyes still seemed to be sharp. He nodded.
I'm okay. I'm looking forward to the beach.
Makes two of us.
Three of us.
Anya smiled. Despite their different backgrounds, she'd grown fond of these guys. It would be difficult leaving them when this was all over. The trees seemed to be growing farther apart now, and the carpet of thick vines and dead litter was lessening. Anya's heart rate increased at the thought of getting out of the jungle. She found herself digging even deeper into her own personal stores of energy and pressing to move faster. Vic grinned as she steamed on past him.
Slow down, speed racer.
Can't help it. I can feel that we're close.
We are. About half a mile, I'd expect.
A half mile. Anya wanted to run for it. The river was widening, and the flow of the water had slowed a little, as farther down she could see it take a sharp bend to the left. She skirted the bank and looked down into the white water that swirled below.
Looks so inviting.
I wouldn't.
Why on earth not?
Sharks.
Sharks? In the river?
The mouth of the river meets the ocean. It's a feeding ground for them because the river washes a lot of jungle debris down to the sea. Dead bodies, animals that get trapped in the current and can't escape, that kind of thing. And there are plenty of tiger sharks in the seas around the Philippines that would love to take a bite out of you.
You're no fun.
Just trying to save your ass again.
Anya continued walking as Michael came closer. His eyes gleamed, and he walked as if he had some fire in his soul.
You sure you're okay?
We'll be soon enough.
What's that supposed to mean?
He just smiled and kept walking. Anya caught up with Vic.
You don't think they have a nasty surprise in store for us, do you?
You're always so suspicious of everyone, aren't you?
I have to be. People are always trying to either kill me or get me to do things for them. It gets a little trying sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think these guys are fine. Hell, they helped us kill some of the bad guys, remember? If they had any wavering in their loyalty, I think it's all gone now.
You're just checking.
Look there.
Anya followed his gaze, and the jungle foliage ended abruptly. Suddenly, a line of sand on either side of the river mouth could be seen through the remaining palm trees that had sprung up in the last few hundred yards.
The beach!
Anya wanted to run for it, but kept herself from doing so. There was no sense leaving everyone else behind. They'd come through all of this together, and together, they'd make it to the beach.